Welcome to Voices
Love
of Freedom. Talk
Radio.
There's one verse in the Bible that I'm pretty sure we all know, and we started using it way before we got involved with Jesus, and that was the "Don't judge me." And society seems to know that verse, and there's truth in that verse, and. We're going to look at it this morning in Romans chapter 2 is a good place to find it. But I heard an old preacher, and this might just, I got a bad habit of just cutting right to the chase on my lessons. But an old preacher in Huntington said it best. He said, "Judge yourself so others won't have to." And if you stop and think about that, you get a little bit of an idea of what he's talking about there. So it's a lot to be thought about. But let's think about Romans chapter 2, verse 2. Well, let me give you the first verse, because here's where you're going to find out about your judgment. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, you condemn yourself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing." One of the things that's so amazing in this passage, and I've seen it come true in so many things, if you're mad at me because I'm doing something, and you stay mad at me or you hold a grudge, in about 6 months, it will come to you, and this has happened to me. It's like, wow, I was mad at that person, but I'm exactly the same and was doing the same things they were doing. Can you follow that? That's pretty scary thinking, considering I'm looking at a book that the last written part of this was 2,000 years ago, and I can apply it to my life right here today. So read that when you get time. It's Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now, you say, well, now, Lunsford, you've backed yourself into a corner because you've said, hey, it's not right to judge anybody. Well, the preacher accepted a calling from God. The preacher, similar to what the prophet had to do, has to tell you the way God says it is in this book. Okay? So I can't judge you. If you tell me you're a Christian, that's as far as I can take it. And what we've been into, where I'm running in the political race, is people have questioned, how can I say somebody is or isn't a saved person, or isn't a Republican or Democrat, or can you be a Christian Democrat or a Christian Republican, or what is the deal? At the end of the day, it's none of my business, okay? But I'm trying to tell those people who will listen, and I've put that in there. I'm trying to tell the ones that are looking for guidance that you have to be careful and abstain from all appearances of evil. And you have to be educated. When this Bible talks about lambs in so many places, but God said when he sends us out to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Because he said when he sent the Christian out, he said it would be like sending out sheep amidst the wolves. So I don't have to tell you how well sheep do against wolves, do I? So there's going to be people fighting it. There's going to be people tearing it down. And just like yesterday's lesson, people say, well, why are you so hard on Christians? I'm hard on us because we got a real bad habit of not wanting to stand up in a country where we can still stand up. It's really scary to me that we don't have any boldness. You say, well, you're judging. I'm just telling you flat out like the Bible says. If you look at the first 12 people that followed Jesus, one was a devil and slid off out of the way and killed himself. But the rest of these people died a martyr's death once they received the Holy Spirit of God and accepted the commission in Acts 1:8 of going and telling people about Jesus. Because the people didn't want to hear about it. And it's the same situation I'm in, People can pick a point out. Some hard-shell Christians can come and say, well, that's it, Lunsford, you're right, and cheer me on or whatever. but it's not that I need cheered on. I'm trying to get the attention of the person who's not willing to make a self-judgment. You see where we're going with that? So let's go on here just a little bit. Because if I back up, you know, the whole world is guilty of sin because of what we inherited from Adam and Eve. And if I would go back here to Romans, starting in chapter 1, verse 18, and read over through here, I could tell you all there is to know about human history. Okay? See, I could talk about being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. My word doesn't mean it. This meaning, my word means nothing anymore, and that's where we're at today. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. We don't give mercy to anybody but us and our own people, our own children. We don't grant mercy to somebody else. We're not interested in that. So who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. How about that for a second? Have you really ever stopped and put a good measuring stick to this? The things that the Christian looks out at the world and says, you shouldn't drink, or you shouldn't take drugs, or you shouldn't skip church, or all these standards that we're trying to hold everybody else to, will probably either end up being guilty of these things, or deep in our heart, we would like to have the courage to do the same thing. Going to a church is a wonderful thing, but church has never saved anybody. You see, it's hearing the word of God preached or shared in such a way that you can see your own self and make a self-judgment that you need a Savior. See, that's not about anything else. It's not about the pretty dresses. It's not about, you know, getting a position of power in your local church. It's not about going because you're getting paid to go, like a preacher, or, you know, some places pay four and five deep. They might be They may be paying the choir director. They may be paying the pianist. They may be paying, you know, and so then all of a sudden it's like it's turned into a job instead of worshiping the Lord. So am I judging? Maybe I am. But I tell you what, you better be careful with those kinds of things. So here we go. Let's just see, since I'm not going to judge you and you're not going to judge me in the ultimate battle of the end, anything that I say about judgment or anything that somebody judges me over, I probably should take at least a look at it and say, hey, how's this going to play out? Because in the judgment, there's some basic principles of divine judgment that we'll see here in chapter 2. And guess what? The scary part of divine judgment is it's 100% accurate. It's not about a political campaign that I was able to pull off where I was able to pretend to be something that I'm not. It's about 100% the truth of it all just coming right down the line to you. So let me give it to you. Here's the basic principles of divine judgment over these next 16 verses. Now, the first thing, and we figured this out here in chapter in verse 1, it said truth, okay? We're going to be judged on the truth of the matter. How can I find out if what I'm doing has truth in it? Well, the place to find it is in the Bible, because the Word of God is the ultimate truth because it has no errors. It's the ultimate truth because in John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I will never see Jesus unless I surrender and realize right now I need the truth of Jesus Christ in my life. Now, You say, I am saved, I am this, and I go through life and I'm never sorry for anything I say, I'm never sorry for anything I do, I never do anything, you know, then you got to self-judge on this thing. Because I've got another thing on doctrinal footnotes, another Bible sitting here that talks about the self-judgment. Because if I don't judge myself, society will judge me with jail, with prison, right? Or maybe something worse, some kind of disease I caught because I was a sexual deviant, some kind of illness I took because I was a drug addict or I was an alcoholic or I was a... See, all these things are a judgment that comes down on us sometimes. Then in the midst of it all, we get somebody that's never done any of those things that gets cancer and everybody, you know, or gets cancer or cirrhosis of the liver, and they're like, well, why did God let this happen? Well, then that comes back to a judgment that's against the whole world, because as of Genesis chapter 3, the whole world was judged. So now where are we at? Well, let's take a good look here. It says, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. The most dangerous thing in the world for the lost person is to go another day without Jesus. The most dangerous thing for a saved person is to get over there in 1 John and realize that if I'm saved and I say that I have no sin, or I don't make mistakes anymore, that I'm a liar and the truth is not in me. Only the truth of God, which is the Holy Spirit living inside of me now, can pull me into a position to examine my life against the truth of this Bible. Now I'm starting to make progress. So let's look at verse 3. It says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, that does the same thing, that thou escape the judgment of God? Meaning this, I just show myself, I go crazy because I caught somebody doing something. And this Bible's saying right here, you do the same thing. So who's guilty? Okay. Do you think you're going to escape judgment because you call yourself a Christian, but you observe other people and you're always good at catching other people doing things wrong? What is wrong? Think on that for just a little bit. So the standards of conduct that God's looking for looking at from us. Man, it's all a tongue twister this morning, isn't it? The standard of content is, number one, am I lining what I do up against the Bible itself? You can judge me if you want to, but you get no credit for that, right? You can judge me all day long, but at the end of the day, the judgment is this. I'm going to stand in front of Jesus Christ, and he's either going to say, enter into heaven or depart from me, I never knew you. And the fact that I'm sharing this with you this morning, you know I don't hate you. Because if I hated you, why would I tell you how to get to heaven? If I only wanted my friends to go to heaven, I wouldn't be sharing this with you. This is going out to the whole world. Whosoever shall click on this link today can find out about the judgment. And the judgment is 100% accurate because it's from God. So when he starts looking at the Christian life, he's going to look and see how I, as a Christian, applied the Bible, the truth of God, to my life. Then he's going to look at something else here in verse 6. It says, God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. It is astounding to me the number of Christian people who never do anything outside of church attendance for Jesus Christ. Oh, you're judging. I'm telling you right here, it says you're going to be judged according to your deeds. Great lesson last night at church. Jerry brought out the fact that, or maybe it was Matt, one of them brought out the fact that I'm going to be judged for things I didn't do. See, the sin of omission might outnumber the sins of commission because I was so I take it to the parable of the talents, where the guy with five talents, he got to five, he went and he made ten. The next one with two or three went and doubled that. But the one with one talent took it and hid it. And it's sort of like this here on the deeds thing. You know, you probably got enough faith to be saved, but you're not growing at all because you're not willing to do anything. You say, well, how come it's always an aggravation in church? Listen, it talks about in the Bible not giving in to itching ears. I can't sit and build you up every single day and tell you how marvelous a Christian you are when we look at the Bible and see there's none of us that are any good. And those of us that have surrendered to Jesus still need to daily take the truth of this Bible in and pay attention to it and measure our lives against it. So I look at my own self and I say, my deeds, I'm not doing enough good stuff for Jesus. Now, doing enough good stuff would not get me saved, because that was a different subject. I had to surrender and realize I needed Jesus, and there was no work I could do to earn what Jesus has done for me, which was to have a death, a burial, and a resurrection just for me, just for you, just for the lost world. And the thing is, he's saved the saved people. He saved the people who will surrender to save the whole world, and it's the world that will not heed the warnings here today. So now let's take a little bit further. Let's go to verses 11 through 15. For there is no respect of persons with God. Man, I see this in churches. I see this in communities. I see this all over the place. There are some people that put other people above them because of their position or their status or their job or their politics or whatever. Listen, if you treat one person better than somebody else, you're going to give an account for that someday. You're going to be in a situation where you're going to be judged on that, because God has no respect of persons. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law. See, there's bunches of people walking around out here with head knowledge. Enough head knowledge to get to heaven. But listen, let me give you the one who's got the ultimate head knowledge of the Bible, and that's the devil. He's not going to heaven. It says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, they having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Now, I got to be honest with you on this, okay? I don't really know what all that means. So, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience. I'm starting to understand this. They're going to show some work if the law is written in their hearts. What is the law now? Love God with all the heart, mind, and soul. Love my neighbors, myself, for two great commands God has given us. So all of a sudden, their conscience is bearing witness. Uh-oh, I'm saved. There's a Holy Spirit living inside of me. It's created a thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not. You see? Because that was the law in the old days, and that's just an example of things. But nonetheless, we love it in society when nobody tries to kill us. We love it in society that nobody's trying to steal something off of us. We love it in society if nobody's trying to have a sexual relationship or any kind of intimate relationship with my spouse. We love those. There's three or four good ones right there. Now, the problem is those first three or four, thou shalt have no other God before me. Problem is, we don't pay attention to that, right? So not only do we not have any other God before thee, there's some other issues that we get into, okay? We do have other gods before our God. We do not praise him like we should. We do not represent him like we should. We do not do the deeds he wants us to do. We will not measure ourselves against the truth of God. And we're not enjoying the light that God wants us to enjoy which was what we were supposed to get out of those verses 11 through 15. We're supposed to be so in love with this relationship with Jesus Christ that we respond with joy, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness. Against such there is no law. You can find that in Galatians 5:22. But like a man said teaching Sunday school last night, we walk around with our head in the sand, our head down, like we're defeated when I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I'm part of a royal priesthood. See, we got to live a little better. I'm not going to pay attention to judging you if I'm taking care of myself. If I'm paying attention to my own sins, I'm not going to have time to pay attention to yours. That's just the way it goes. So what is this? What is the final thing in verse 16 says, God is going to judge in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So what is it? What are the secret things? The secret things, and I can go over to Matthew chapter 5, but the secret things are those things that I think on, but I don't react to. Jesus said, if you think that sin, it's a sin to you already. Do we confess those sins? I tell you what, I have to. Because if I don't, I could become King David in no time. David saw something. He wanted it. He made a plan to get it. He didn't care who it hurt when he got it. He stole somebody else's wife. He had that person killed. So I've got stealing, killing, adultery, covetousness, all of it in one afternoon. All because somebody decided that their secret thoughts and their motives were okay because of who they were. Take it back to the judgment of persons. You see where we're going with it? Take it back to God is no respecter of persons. Man, we ought to be the most humble creatures in the world. Why? Because we ought to get a look at what Jesus Christ has done for us, and we should be so happy that we can't see straight. Why? Because God has a plan that is way beyond anything we could ever imagine. And I'm hoping and praying that you get that relationship today. Have a great day. God bless.